Good evening, and welcome to What a World. Celebrating diversity and loving it, this is Nevin Campanella, bringing you a radio talk show that has no limits and bows to no one. From this microphone, we bring you guests who will lead you across those shadowy plains of forbidden knowledge. Before beginning tonight's show, I wanted to say one thing about 9/11. It's something we need to keep in memory. Never forget. And for those who would like to review what happened during those terrible times as a way of keeping it in focus, there's a wonderful website, 911.navexpress.com. It's a picture summary of what went on during those terrible hours and all the follow-up. Well, tonight is the very first broadcast, and you'll be bumping along with Nevin Campanella and Blog in Service. Besides 911, we also had a tragedy in the past few weeks, Katrina. How did Katrina happen? How did she come along? Some say just a natural wonder of nature. Others say that there may be more mysterious elements that were involved as to why Katrina was so big and so large. Maybe the question that I should ask tonight is, how did we lose so many lives from one hurricane? There is certainly something more brutal than nature going on, and I suspect we may find it in Washington, D.C. There were a lot of lives lost in 911 and Katrina, and maybe in both, we should have some serious questions directed primarily at George W. Bush. Americans deserve answers, and it's about time that Washington, D.C. provided some answers. If they don't, it's time for us as the public to start asking really hard questions. And now, we'll take a 60-second moment of silence in remembrance of those lives that were savagely torn from their family and friends in 911, and those lives lost from the ravages of Katrina and the incompetence in Washington, D.C. Tonight's guest is Prophet Yahweh. He was born in Memphis, Tennessee in 1953 to Mr. and Ms. Willie Eugene Watkins and given the name of Ramon. In 1974, he joined a ministry and spent much of his life in that occupation. Currently, he heads a spiritual organization devoted to understanding the UFO phenomenon and the intent of the entities that circle around our little planet and spacecraft that seem extremely camera shy. Tonight's show will not be a traditional friendly chat between host and guest. Prophet Yahweh has requested an in-depth interview which would disclose everything about him. I am letting the audience know this because others who might have thought of coming on the show may think this is the type of interview they would undergo. The answer is no. Unless requested by the guest, all interviews on What a World will be simple, chatty, and geared to entertain. And keep that in mind, folks. This is about entertainment. I'm not a news broadcaster. I have no axe to grind. We have no one platform to support. We are neutral. Tonight's broadcast will be more like a psychological interrogation than an interview. But just before I start that, I need to say one more thing, and that is, of course, this radio show would not be possible if it were not for the enduring energy, generosity, and motivation of Mr. Don Newsom. administrator, and owner of Bloggin Services and Bloggin Broadcasting Services. As I said, we have no limits, and we are about to begin. Hi, Prophet Yahweh. Thank you for joining us tonight as the first guest on the debut of What a World.
Hi. I'm glad to be here. I feel really good about it, and I thank you for letting me in on this historic moment.
Historic it is. We have no idea what will occur. We keep our fingers crossed, hoping the equipment stays up. It's bump along with What a World. Because of the unusual aspect of this interview, we need to establish a few simple ground rules. I have prepared a list of questions in four major areas for you. These are life background, how you became involved with the UFO phenomenon, the spiritual aspect of this involvement from your point of view, and your upcoming 50-state tour. Now, in order to get through all of this in a reasonable amount of time, I'm asking you to keep all your answers brief and directly to the question. Some questions will require more than one or two sentences, but even with those, keep them brief and only answer to the question asked. Are you in agreement with this approach?
Yes, I am.
Okay, then let's get started. Let's start with your background. In 25 words or less, give us a little background on where you were raised, where you went to school, and how you eventually became interested in joining the ministry.
I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee, and I went to Melrose High School, and I had a rough life, and wow, man, but I come from a deeply religious family. My grandfather was head of all of the CME churches in the western state of Tennessee, and I just had it in me to desire ministry, and because of things that happened in my life, I just felt drawn more and more to the ministry.
Such as, you mentioned things happening in your life. Why don't you mention what those might have been? Those things that led you to the ministry.
I felt from the beginning, I felt that I had some kind of divine protection around me because I was in several life and death situations, and I feel like, that I should have been the one killed, but other people were dying. I mean, it was just so strange just...
You had a feeling that from those experiences there must have been some sort of divine intervention on your part or for you. Can you give us an example of one or two of those experiences that were so cataclysmic?
Yes. Once I was walking down the street with a friend of mine, and we're going over to a guy's house, and I knew the guy didn't like me, but he liked the other guy. And as we were getting close to his house, I had a strange feeling not to go, and I backed out. Just so happened, the guy that went to his house got shot and killed through the heart, by that guy. And I figured that, well, if he shot and killed the guy he liked, then that bullet was really intended for me, since he doesn't like me. And that was the main thing that made me say, wait a minute, man, I was supposed to have gone there. I was supposed to have been the one that got shot.
So, divine intervention. It would cross my mind, too. If something like that were to happen to me, I would be asking the same question, why wasn't I taken? How did I get saved? What stepped in? Did you express these feelings to your family when they did occur, as the experiences occurred? Did you express what happened and how you felt about them?
No, I didn't, because I didn't tell my family what my experiences were in the streets. I didn't want my mother to know that I was that kind of a guy.
That kind of a guy. There's a twist on that, Prophet Yahweh. That kind of guy. Why don't you tell us a little bit what that kind of guy means?
Well, I was raised, and I did not have a father, and I didn't know what being a man was about. The only way I could find out was by what I saw a man was about on television. from what I was seeing on television, a man was about, you know, whoredom, stealing, robbing. I mean, these are the images I saw on TV. And all of my friends, we patterned ourselves off what we saw on TV and what we heard in, on the radio, because we didn't know. And I grew up mimicking that which I saw, you know, and I didn't want my family to find out.
Well, I can understand, but it's a huge jump from those street experiences to the ministry. Somewhere in there, you have to reconcile that type of background to lead you into such a spiritual area as the ministry. How did you get there?
Well, all my life I've been born with the ability to kind of see through things, see through lies, see through deception. And most people, as they grow older, they are supposed to be able to see through the flaws in the reasoning that are presented to us to abide by. I just started seeing through it. It just didn't seem right. I believe most people in their heart can tell the difference between right and wrong, and I just felt that it wasn't the way. I just felt that it was the devil working through me, you know?
The devil working through you. At some point, then, you must have entertained the notion that possibly there was some form of possession, devil within you, that kind of thing. Did that ever cross your mind?
At that age, yes. But since then, I've come to realize that it wasn't so much anything in me as far as a foreign intelligence, but rather ideals were being placed in my mind, suggestions, very powerful suggestions were in my mind, and I and they would work themselves out in me, in my behavior. You know, and it's still happening today. The masses of the people are being deceived by what they see and what they accept. They allow in their minds, through their eyes and through their ears.
You felt you were being fed information, deceived by any particular source, or do you think that it was something that was not of this planet? In other
at
words,
at that time, I felt it was Americanism, you know, like Hellenism and Romanism, Americanism, you know, which was based on immorality. It seemed deliberate. It just seems that every year, you know, the degree that we're fed immorality and flawed reasonings and, you know, just increases. And now I really can't stand to even look at television because of all of the powerful suggestions that it's, evil suggestions that it's, you know, putting in my mind.
Well, we really needed to clarify that as to whether we were talking about something that only you could see or hear or others could actually verify. And what you're saying is that it was, in fact, the culture that you were being fed, and that culture led you to many of the things that you wound up doing.
Correct. And I think it's like that today, Nevin. I think that the masses of our people are being made a fool out of by people in power using media to teach us that what is wrong is right and what is evil is good. I just don't like Americanism.
Don has a wonderful word for that. He calls it the world ass backwards. And I got to agree with you. Sometimes it certainly seems that way. Let's get back to your family relationship. How would you describe your relationship with your mother? And please go into some detail.
Well, my mother and I, we never really got along like a older son was supposed to get along with his mother, because she was working so hard. I mean, when I went to sleep, she was at work. When I woke up, she was at work. And I might, and her days off, she had to sleep because she worked so hard for so many years. And I never really got a chance to get to know her like I should have. You know, and by the time I got to be 13, 14, it was too late. I was out in the streets, and, you know, she was trying to reason with me, but my mind had become infected with the power of evil.
Is your mother still alive today?
Yes.
And is she aware of this broadcast this evening?
She is?
That's what I'm asking you. Is she?
Oh, no, no, I don't think so.
What kind of communication do you maintain with her?
Every once in a while I talk with her, but she and the rest of my family think that I am a stark raving fool. And they don't have anything to do with me, you know. So I just say, well, maybe I can win back a relationship some other time.
Well, that has to hurt. I mean, here you are, after all this time, finally achieving your personal goal, and yet you cannot get the attention of your mother yet. You didn't have her attention when you were a teenager, and apparently maybe you still don't have her attention. Is that correct?
That's correct. My relationship with my family is a disaster, man. I mean, like, the only way that there could be any normalcy between me and my family is once I am documented beyond any shadow of a doubt, calling down UFOs and spaceships, because I've been trying to, ever since I started telling them about this voice that's talking to me and the spaceships and the UFOs that are appearing, they say that I need to be put in a straitjacket.
But apparently, I heard you mention one time that you do have a brother that attends some of the summonings. Is that correct?
Correct.
So give me an idea of your siblings. How many brothers or sisters do you have?
I have five brothers and sisters. I'm the oldest, and we were all just perfect with each other pretty much until I started hearing the voice. From the moment I started hearing the voice, that was it. My relationship with family was doomed. And the more I tried to tell them about what I was hearing, the more they said I needed to be in a straitjacket.
Well, what about this brother that attends the summonings with you? What is his attitude towards you?
Well, he's seen so many appear. He's seen hundreds appear. And
so he's convinced.
Oh, big time, beyond any shadow of a doubt. And he tries to tell them that what I'm saying is true, that spaceships and UFOs are appearing and that he's seen them, but they tell him that he needs to be put in a straitjacket.
So he's picking up on a little bit on you. Do any of your family, do they have involvement in ministry of any sort, or are you the only one?
Well, my grandfather, being head of all the Western CME churches in Tennessee during his reign, before he died, he had about seven sons, and just about all of them became pastors, except for maybe one or two. And so, as far as my siblings are concerned, one of them is a bishop now, and he refuses to talk to me because he says that I'm possessed by the devil.
So here's that term again, possession comes up again,
right.
This time from a brother. And I guess that there's going to be a certain segment of society that is bound and determined to put you in a category of some sort. Frankly, I have not been able to. I have looked at a lot of the material, and while I may not agree with all your opinions on why these things are happening, there's no question in my mind that it is happening. Part of your ministry, it seems that part of your ministry is to denounce certain things, such as drug use and homosexuality. Now, there is some evidence that you yourself had engaged in homosexual activity, at least in your teen years. Did you have any homosexual experience?
Yes, I did when I was 17 and 18, but I haven't done it. I haven't done it since, because you know the kind of people I was around. You know, they said that you should do it. You know, and I mean, in my neighborhood, all there were pimps and prostitutes, drug dealers, homosexuals, and they were my heroes because I had no positive role models anywhere. I mean, anywhere. You know, and it's like that today. I mean, you'd be surprised just how much what a person sees in his environment affects him. And I got involved with that mess, and you know, but like I probably would have still been involved in it if I had not started hearing the voice, and if I had not started sensing a divine presence.
Well. That experience, that homosexual experience, seems to be plaguing you a little bit nowadays. You have many critics, and they point this out. Are you bothered by the accusations of homosexuality?
Well, yes, I am, very much so, because I feel, even today, well, really, I'm upset with myself for even having gotten into that madness, you know, and... And I feel that the devil got a big one over on me. And, you know, see, the devil has key words that he uses to trap people in his deception. In my neighborhood, one of the things that was said was, there's no shame in my game. You know, these little statements, you know, once they enter into the your mind, I mean, they tend to have a consciousness of their own, like a mini intelligence. They seem to become a lesser you, and seem to even speak out to you. You know, and like another one is, "I'll try anything once." See, once these little statements get in your mind. They tend to wait until the right time to speak to you, and at that time they become very powerful in persuading you. And so, I had nobody to train me or teach me how to think and how to defend myself from the subtle deceptions of evil and immorality.
Is it your position that homosexuality is, quote, bad from your point of view, and people, men,
bad.
And
women
should not be engaging?
I think it's the most horrible thing on the planet Earth. I think that it's a byproduct of mental illness. But from the standpoint of mental illness induced by self-deception.
I understand.
You know,
I think you made that very, very well understood, the entire concept of self-deception, and we all do it. And we self-deceive because there's something that we want at the time. We may regret it later on, but we use a lot of self-deception. Along the way, through those years, through homosexuality, on the streets, you must have come across drugs. Did you ever use illegal drugs?
Yes, I. Woo, did I? Man, wow. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But see, they did not have crack cocaine when I was coming up. You know, they didn't even have cocaine in our neighborhood. You know.
What kind of drugs were you involved with?
In the 60s, it was like marijuana, hash, and acid, and speed.
I had a question from on an email. Someone had asked me. To ask you your feelings about the use of marijuana. Could you talk about that for a little bit?
Well, you know, anything that goes against the Creator's overall scheme or purpose for our body is a fiendish, demonic act. Our lungs were not made to inhale smoke. It was made to exhale a smoke, carbon dioxide. Okay, so to reverse the purpose of the lungs is a demonic, fiendish act. Marijuana, cigarette smoking, anything other than air is a that we've let into our body is a fiendish, demonic act. And marijuana should never, ever be consumed, smoked, as, if you will, by anybody under any circumstances. You know, we should be 100% sober at all times, you know, and never take any mind-altering substance except for medication, medicine.
You mentioned a hallucinogenic drug. Did you ever use LSD?
Did I? I used it so much until, shuck, that stuff almost killed me.
Is it possible that the severe use of LSD produced a delusional disorder, which you see for today, and that many of the things that you think you are experiencing are, in fact, nothing more than flashbacks on LSD? Do you respond to that?
Well, yeah, at first, you know, I experienced the flashbacks, but they seemed to dissipate as the years went on. So I know what LSD flashbacks are, you know. I wondered if I may have caused damage to my electrical structure of my brain, but I concluded that I had not damaged myself